Welcome to all of our two and four-legged listeners, and welcome back to What the Bark, the Rightful Podcast. We're here again to go into part two of our dog coat genetic series, all about dog coat color. And of course, I feel like a bit of a student because I'm here with our teacher and everyone's favorite genetic expert. George, thank you for coming back to tell us a little bit more about dog coat color and genetics.
Nathan, yes, welcome to another one of our educational podcasts. Not that the others haven't been, we've got guests on, but these are really just one-on-one, us two talking about topics that we feel that, well, I feel that I get a lot of questions about.
And debunk
some of these myths. And we're sort of into part two of the coat color, because being so complex, all these coat colors and different patterns, we thought we'd break them down so people were able to listen. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be able to cope if I was to sit there and talk to you about all.
My brain was exploding after the first episode. I was just trying to take it all in.
Yeah, so remember the last episode, we sort of kept it to basic E locus, B locus, and the D locus, and sort of the colors that then how one overrides the others. And I left you some curly questions like, what's a lilac?
Yeah,
remember, absolutely. And you're still learning that, you know, the dilute of a brown, all the different bee locuses and cocoa. So in this pod, we're going to talk about, what was it, the A locus and the K locus.
So if we put it in sort of, you know, simple terms, we've started with the basic colors, you know, the E, B, and D, your sort of your blacks, browns, dilutes. But now we're sort of going into a bit more about how color can be distributed.
Correct.
The coat of a dog, because you know you don't just get a black, brown, or yellow dog, but you get markings, you get coloring, you get so much unique distribution of color.
So this is the pattern that's distributed, and these K's and A's are seen a lot in some of the working lines. Some of the bull breeds are notorious for the K's and A's. You know, so let's start with the first letter of the alphabet, which is the A locus. And I've got Mary going crazy here for some reason. She's heard A locus and she knows what she knows that she's a KYKYAYAY. So we'll talk more about what that is later. Yeah, so we'll talk
we'll
for about
that for Mary.
That's later. So the A locus, which is short for part of the ACIP gene. And you know how we as scientists love to abbreviate. ACIP is short for agouti, signaling protein. So, you know, you just saying ASP would have been hard. So we had to add an I in there to give it the ASP for the signaling part. Yeah, that's right. And it's located, for those that want to really get into the nitty gritty of, you know, where it is, it's on chromosome 24, Nathan, on the dog chromosome map. So if you think the A locus is what sort of gets your hair to produce what's called the red yellow pigment, which is called vermilion, and we talked about it last on the E locus. So this gets it to produce that fawn red that you hear about. So if I tell you fawn red, what's a breed you think about when I say oh, this dog's fawn?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. I mean, you can think about sort of your chow chow would be one.
Good. You can see learning a fawn. You can get a red Stafford. You can get a fawn, you know, a French bulldog, which is beautiful, that fawn. You can get different shades. So this is the A locus. The same A locus that produces a fawn, when that pheomelanin pigment is not present, it produces black or brown pigment. And in different parts of the bodies, when it's distributed, when I tell you it's got black and brown coloring, what do you see that as? So I'm talking about a dog that's got black and brown, or black and tan. Black and tan, there's a Doberman, classic black and tan. Yeah. Classic black and tan. You've got a Dachshund, which is a black and tan.
Yes.
So when your A locus is switched on and your vermilion's expressed, you get a red or a fawn. When it's not switched on, you have an AT, it's a black and tan. So an AY is the nomenclature we use to describe a fawn or a red, and an AT is a black and tan. Simple. But guess what? Sometimes that AT, No, it's not. See, you thought it was just black and white. Sometimes that AT in some other breeds is known as a tri. So the expression is not a black or a tan, it's a tricolor.
Right, like a cavalier.
Cavalier or your classic working breed, your border collie, your Aussie shepherd, they come in those tricolors. Interesting, isn't it? The same result and same gene triggers a different pattern in another breed. This is why
Amazing.
colors it. And sometimes I get in trouble because, oh, your dog's black and tan, or I don't know, it's an Australian shepherd. They go, no, it's not. You're wrong. Your result's wrong. No, it's not. I've just haven't given you the. So now in our results were black and tan or tricolor. Sometimes it's fawn or red. Some people use another color, but there's more. There's more than just AY and AT. I've given you the two easy ones. There's also another A locus called AW, and AW is your wild type or your sable coat pattern, that wolf type sable pattern that you see in some of the German shepherds, for example.
So this one A locus can basically give you fawn to black and tan to sable. There's lots of different expressions.
And there's another one. I haven't left you with another one. There's another one which is just a straight A. The A allele with no T on it, no W on it, no Y on it. And that is just simply a black dog, just one color. A locus, it's black. It's easy.
So,
So let me just go through all these again. So the AW known as the wild. So I'm going to say them in sequence of which one trumps each other. So you've got the AW, the AY, the AT, and the A. And each one trumps the other. So for example, what I mean by trump, I'm not playing a game of cards. What do you think to a trump? What do you think if I say to you that AY trumps AT? Think about it, you've got two particular genes you're reporting. What do you think that means if AY trumps AT?
I guess it means possibly that if the dog has both of those, then AY would take priority. That would be the one that's expressed.
Oh, Nathan, this is fantastic. I can see all that money spent on that schooling by your parents has worked out. You've listened.
I feel like I'm back at school now.
That's right. So the AY is dominant over the AT. So what it means is to be a fawn or a red, you only need one AY. So if you're AY AT on the A locus, you're fawn or red. To be black and tan, you need to be AT AT. So AY is dominant and trumps AT.
So, like in the same way that we talked last week about having the big E, little e.
Correct. This is what, so it trumps. And of course, AW trumps them all. So you only need one if it's A to express it. And this is what sometimes confuses people because it is sometimes harder to get an AT dog. So a black and tan is rare in a Stafford. You don't see many. There are not many around, but they're not desirable. But that's why you see more fawns and reds because the
Now,
AY trumps
I've
it.
got a question just as someone who's, coming fresh and coming new to this. So does every breed, if you've got your Labrador and he's, getting a DNA test, for coat color, will he have each of those locuses, loci in the test? So does every dog have every loci, or do they not, maybe not have one of them?
So good question. So every dog has every loci, but in some breeds it is fixed. It doesn't change. So you're right. Most Labradors would actually be AT-AT, but they never express it because the K locus is fixed. And I'll get more onto the K locus later. Because to express the A locus, excuse me, depends on your K locus. So the distribution of the pattern is controlled by the K locus. So you're right, we run it in every breed, but in some breeds they are over 100 and 200 years fixed. But what we are starting to see is that sometimes what tends to be fixed is not. So for example, in the Doberman, every Doberman we test is KY, KY, AT, AT. I haven't seen anything outside of that, which means they're all black and tan. The only thing that changes sometimes is the black and tan becomes chocolate and tan because you've got your chocolate on the other one. We talked about last week, which changes every color except for tan. So it changes the black to express your E locus and your B locus and your D locus that I talked about before impact your A locus.
So I guess in that way, if you, I mean, if you almost think of it like a bit of a recipe, you know, and every dog has every ingredient, has every loci. It just depends on the levels or what trumps what, I guess, in that particular dog. And as you said, some are fixed, so they're always going to be the same, because you're not going to have a Doberman that's fawn, for example, unless something's gone horribly wrong, or it's not a pure breed. But you know, all of them have, you know, every single loci. So that's really good to know, and basically means that you then need to really interrogate every single
No,
loci
we
then.
don't. So you're right. So you're right. We run them all. And sometimes people go, what are you running that for? And sometimes people get confused because they see that the K locus, which I'll talk about later, and go, but my dog, he says my dog's dominant black, but it's not. So the A locus is the agouti series. And as we talked about, it affects the way the eumelanin and the pheomelanin are distributed. Different to the E locus, which is eumelanin filament, this affects the distribution of it. So as we said before, an AY is a red or a sable. And sometimes you might even see people go, I've got a bit of black tips on it. That's still fine. You've still got the AY locus. You only need one AY to express it. Then you've got your AW next in the series, which is your agouti or your wolf sable. And again, they look more sort of black. And there's a word they all use, which is called banded, and it tends to, everyone calls it that wolf grey. And then you've got your AT, which is your tan points, which is usually black with some red, and usually the distribution is sort of consistent with the breed standard. And it's only recessive over dominant black, but it's not over AY. So it's AY, AW, AT, and then A, which is your straight recessive black. It's a solid black, no red or anything or coating in the coat at all. So an AY is your fawn red, your AW is your sable or wolf grey, your AT is your tan points or your tricolour, and then your A is your recessive black. They're the four A locus genes
To be aware of.
that work. But remember, I'm going to tell you something. Is it, guess what? There's one more.
Oh, there's one more. Okay. You keep thinking we've got our heads wrapped around it. So
Look, there's a new one that people should look at for some breeds, which is included in panels available from UC Davis. And it's a new ACIP BB1, BB2, and BB3 gene.
But I think the website that George mentioned last week in our sort of introductory episode, which is doggenetics.co.uk, has some great information on this and some fantastic visuals as well, which really help bring this to life. So it has a specific page all about the A locus, the agouti locus, and it really does go into all of those, you know, the sable, the agouti, the tan points, the recessive black, and you can see all of the pictures and you know, basically how they all manifest across different breeds. And you can see some beautiful sables, some beautiful wolf grey breeds, and you know, again, how basically, you know, one locus completely changes it all.
Exactly. Visit that website. It's got some great visuals and explains it in very simple terms. So simple, it makes this podcast seem like the most technical podcast you've listened to on coat color, Nathan. So I just want to confirm that the A locus is masked or hidden by the E locus and the K locus, which I'll talk more about the K locus. So if you've got a dog that is white or cream, it will hide what's expressed on the A locus. For example, that's why you don't see any expression of it on the Labrador, because they might be black and tan, but they're hidden because they're either EE or they're dominant black KK at the little E or big K at the K locus, which I'll talk about the K locus. So remember, if you're expressing little E, you're going to hide whatever's on the A locus. You won't see it.
Almost like it trumps it.
It does. It's like playing a game of 500, Nathan.
It is. the E trumps the K trumps the A.
Bowler goes six black and tans on you, and you'll go seven AWs.
Gosh, I hope. I mean, that, and that's why the visuals are so important, and that's why, yeah, I would really stress all of the listeners go to this website. You'll get a really nice visual summary that complements everything that we're explaining on the podcast.
So then it leads us on to the KB or K allele, which is important because it's known as the dominant black gene that has three different variants. So one is the dominant one, which is notated as big K or KB, people put. And, if there's one thing that confuses a lot of us, it's the nomenclature used. Some laboratories use just a big K. Some people use a big K with a little B. We are trying to get together as a group and standardize it at the next conference we're at, which is the ISAG conference. When it's big K, or big K, little B, big K, little B, then it is what we call dominant black. It removes any expression of the agouti.
Yeah, it trumps it. It cancels it
out. You don't see anything. You don't see. You could be AY, you could be AW, you could be whatever. And you are, when you're big K, for this podcast, we're going to stick to big K, because by the time I mention every subscript and so whatever, you are what I like to use, and I heard this from one of my Stafford buddies, a clean skin. And what I mean by clean skin, you're one, there's no distribution of pattern, you're one pattern. You're a solid color.
Yeah. I'm not talking about wine, we're talking about a solid black.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a nice clean skin. You've got me thinking, yeah. So you could be a solid black, you could be a solid white, you could be. So that's why we say in most Labradors, that loci is fixed, big K. So you do not see any distribution of the tan points I was talking about. But guess what? We have seen some big K, little Ks. And then when they get to two little Ks, they will express the tan points. So some people might have a black Labrador, because you won't see it unless you've got black. If you've got a yellow Labrador, you won't see anything because it hides every of the other colors. It masks it. You will see some little brown hairs around sort of the feet area, around the ears. That's what it does. It's expressing the tan points. You don't see it in the way that you would a Doberman, because you haven't selected for it. You haven't bred for it. But I'm pretty sure if you got a tan-pointed Labrador and bred it with another tan, and you started this generation after generation, you'd get yourself a really good black and tan Labrador.
But as we know, it's not in the breed standard, so this is probably why you don't see it.
But Nathan, doesn't matter. If it's not in the breed standard, it would make, for any of those non-traditional breeders, it would make a really popular pet, wouldn't it?
We're going down a wormhole there.
We don't want to go down that. So then what happens? I know what the question you're asking me now. What happens when you've got one big K and one little K, let's call it? And it brings us to a really popular color. What's a very popular color you've seen some of the bull breeds?
Would it be a brindle?
Oh, Nathan, I can't believe that. You've done more research for this podcast than you've ever done in the last 2 years we've been doing these pods for.
I have to keep up. It's a very complex topic.
So it introduces what's called brindling. Yes. Correct. The brindling in an allele, and it's usually represented by a K with a little BR. And it's a separate mutation that's expressed on this A locus. But guess what? We can't test for it.
Oh, really? Because that's what I was going to ask. Why can't we test for brindle?
Because unfortunately, the mutation is currently unknown. Although I do believe, this is another one of those where I've done my research, Nathan, that the K locus and the brindle gene is now available through a lab in Russia that's published it. So what happens is we usually say maybe brindle, because of course a non-black means that you may be brindle in some breeds. Not every breed is brindle. Guess what? We also have another issue. Say if it's a border collie, you have one copy of black and one copy of non-black. Guess what that expresses as? A black and white border collie. I know, you know what you're thinking, George, I can't cope anymore.
So we've talked, so we've got the KB, which is obviously the dominant black. Now we've talked about the KBR, which is the brindle.
Yeah, brindle, black stripes or base, yeah. And it's dominant over the smaller K. So only one dog only needs one KBR to express brindle. That's why you see a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you've got, it's that hierarchy, the dominant black trumps the brindle, and the brindle trumps the third one, which is the non-solid black. Is that
That's
right?
Correct, the KY. So this is what I like about KY, because KY then means that you express what we talked about on the A locus.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about fawn and red? So to only, to express that color, you must be little KY, little KY.
Yeah.
So think of, non-solid. So think of it like when you're testing for the mutation, when you're wild type, your big KB, big KB. When you're wild type mutant, your big KB, KY, KBR. When you're mutant, mutant, your KY, KY. When you're mutant at both alleles, you express the A locus. When you're wild type at the K locus, you do not see any of the A locus expressed. So then if I told you, I've got two dogs, Nathan, I want to get a fawn dog, what should you look at?
So you need, so you need the K locus to be the non-solid black, so that you know, basically that's not going to impact your A locus. And then with the A locus, then yeah, you need your sort of your fawn A locus, which is the AY, I believe.
Correct. So what I want to let people see, you could have two brindle dogs, put them together, and you could produce a fawn. As long as you've got, because you've got one copy of black, one copy of non-black on both dogs. If they both pass on the non-black, and that one's carrying an AY and the other one's carrying an AY, it doesn't even need to, it just needs one AY and it passes it on, you've got yourself a fawn up. So what do you think I need then to get a black and tan?
Oh, well, you would need, I guess, the, you know, the brindle. So you'd need one sort of KBR, and then you'd also need an AT, a tan point.
You need two ATs. That's the challenge. So you need both parents to be carrying an AT. And then if they pass on the AT and they pass on the non-black, you've got your black and tan. So that's why it's complex. If you've got one dog that is dominant black, no matter what your other dog is, you will never express the A locus, is what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah.
So it is, and it just shows just how interrelated all of these are. I mean, you know, for all of our listeners that are sort of trying to follow this along, I guess, you know, what I'm seeing is that you can't just look at the A locus, because if you want the A locus to come into play, if you want to start looking at, you know, your tan and your sable and your agoutis, you can't just look at that. You need to see what the K locus is, because if you've got a dominant black, you're never going to see it.
It's hidden.
So you need to have at least a brindle or a non-solid
black.
And
then, of course, then we've got the B locus and the E locus when you've got a K locus solid dog, because then you've got a good chance the dog will be either black or brown. So that's where it also comes into it. But if KY, then it will express whatever colorations there are on the A locus.
So maybe for our listeners as well, we can, you know, talk about this in dog terms, right? So the easy one, which is what we just spoke about, you know, for your Labrador, your black lab, that's always going to be KB, dominant black. You know, you're not going to see anything in the A locus. It's always hidden. So that's probably the easiest one to understand. But then, you know, let's talk about, you know, your Doberman, the black and tan Doberman. So what would the K and the A locus look like for the black and tan?
So black and tan, the K locus must be KY, KY. Little K is what we sort of say. So it must be. And then the A locus must be AT, AT.
There you go. So yeah, that's, again, for your black and tan Doberman, that's sort of how you're only going to get it if you have the KY, KY, AT, AT. And that's obviously all breeds, all
Want to
Dobermans.
get this at this current time, although I will say there is a lab out of Russia that has just published a few months ago that there is a test, a direct test for brindle, but at this current time, there's no direct test, and you generally refer to this through the dominant black allele, the presence of it, and you look at it, and the only way to really determine if it's if it is brindle is to look at the phenotype of the parents. So if there's a parent with brindle, because sometimes you may not express brindle. It doesn't always express. It only expresses sometimes. You've got to understand, usually the best way to come across it is to look at the phenotype of one of the parents. If it's got brindle in, then it'll express it and it's dominant.
And what about the border collie? So, we talked a lot about that as well. If you're looking at a border collie, which again has generally pretty, set colors as well.
Set colors. That's again one copy of black, one copy of non-black, and because the non-black does not tress, you don't see brindle in the breed. It'll express either black and white. You can get brown and white, of course, which is a chocolate changing the black. And then don't forget, you can also get cream, and which is sometimes seen in the breed. It's a little E. We don't see many dilutes in the breed, and we do sometimes see tri-coloured border collies more in the working line. So that's when they've passed on one copy of the non-black, one copy of the non-black, and they're carrying an AT because they don't express as black and tan. Working dogs, working lines don't. Their AT is not black and tan. It's a tri.
There we go. So it's yeah, I find it really interesting to then, take all of the theory and then apply it to the individual dogs and the dog breeds, because that sort of brings it to life. And again, go to doggenetics.co.uk. They've got a whole page all about the K locus, and it goes into, again, great detail about how that's all expressed across so many different breeds. I think we've covered a lot of the main ones. I think, we've now, I mean, we've gone through nearly like more than half of the different details when it comes to dog coat color and genetics. We've gone, yeah, EBD in part one, and we've just gone through A and K. So
Okay, and remember, refer to the website we've spoken about. Be aware that you can that site has some really got nice imagery. I'll try and keep you updated on this new brindle gene test that's available. There is a new A locus for the fourth SNP that's been identified and available through a laboratory in the US. We are looking at adding that test as something that's been reached out to us by some of our clients. They want to be able to test, especially in some of the shepherd breeds where it's seen. Remember, if you're little E, it takes over any color patterns that you express on there. So, and then we're going to talk about in the next podcast is two of the more complex, Pied and Merle,
They're always the tricky ones.
which we're going to talk about those. And that gives you some time to do some research. So let's do a giveaway for people listening. Nathan, people are going to be going, George isn't giving away, a DNA voucher. What is it? Tight Ass Tuesday or something all of a sudden? No, well, I'm here. Let's give away a voucher for a full breed profile to anyone that emails me with this answer. The first person that does with the answer is, can you please email me the A series hierarchy?
I'll have to go back and listen to that. So what trumps what trumps what in the A locus?
And if, and I want you to email me for a chance to win one of John's Bryson's breed books, because I'm giving away his breed books once again, plugging his breed books. I've got copies of them. I haven't got them unfortunately personally signed, but I'll give away one of these to the person that and person that emails me with if someone calls eight no trumps in a game of 500.
God, we're going into card games. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking if someone calls eight no trumps in a game of 500, what card is the highest trump?
Oh, this is taking me back. I think I know the answer to this, but I'll save it for our listeners. Yes. Yeah.
I could have made it harder and told you to give me what if there's no left or right bower, so we don't need to worry about that. So give me what card trumps me when I go Eight no
Okay,
trumps.
so we've got a DNA question, and then we've got George's gambling question.
All promoting John's book again. It's all part of, you
Absolutely.
know, it's responsible gambling. You can't
Absolutely.
play. You can't play 500 at any casino.
No, it's a good. It's a, you know, stay at home game.
So I've enjoyed. Look, it's been confusing. Look, sometimes it's hard to give these without sort of diagrams. So please, people, be aware that you can visually get some really nice answers from the website that we've been promoting. And, you know, just do a lot of promotion for this website, but it's a good area. And don't be afraid of Dr. Google.
Yeah, there's a lot of information online. And I think, as we said, complement this podcast with some visuals. You know, that'll make it really real, and you'll be able to see exactly what we're talking about, how those genes and locus are expressed.
And you know what? I've forgotten about another topic too, which is in the poodles. You know, when you see a phantom poodle, is a black and tan poodle.
Ah, there you go.
So you also get black and tan poodles, phantom. I've seen them. Now, they're not accepted, but guess what? When people can use the color test to eliminate them out of their breeding program, an ATAT, and I can assure you both parents would be one copy of black, one copy of non-black. All of a sudden, you have four puppies, one puppy is black and tan. What's happened, George? I've got a mismating. My Doberman's got to my poodle. No, you've got a dog that you didn't realize was carrying a copy of non-plaque. So it's giving away. See, it's already changing the solid color because you've gone away from your two big Ks, which is fixed in the breed. And in the background, they're carrying a tan point, and bang, combined, and you've got yourself what's called a phantom. The next episode will be Pied and Merle.
So we'll keep an eye out for part three. We'll be getting into even probably the most complex parts of the coat color genetics sort of ecosystem. But George, thank you again for being our teacher, taking us through everything to do with the A and K locus. And I think we're well on our way now to being dog breed experts. And as I said, check out doggenetics.co.uk, and we'll see you, George, in the next episode.